Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hello, everybody. It's a Friday afternoon. Chad Hartman and Dan Cook with you. And I just got to be honest. This show in particular, we try to cover a lot of stuff. But does this show get involved in investigative journalism often? Probably no. Probably the answer is no. But I'm just going to be honest about this. For the last 5 years, the two of us have been covering this story and have waited until today to divulge it to you because we have discovered an employee at a prominent business, really on planet Earth. Some would say in America, some would say in North America, some might say in Minnesota. We believe this business is prominent on the entire planet. And this employee, no matter who his colleagues are, who his bosses are, has put aside his morals, if he ever had any, and has pulled off the same scam year after year after year. But Dan Cook and I have said, no more. That's it. The line has been drawn, and we want to bring that employee in right now. Adam Carter, where are you really? Are you really at the fishing over? Do we have any proof that you're at the fishing over? Can Dan just go be a part of one of his favorite activities and get, you know, be working? Can I go be working?
Baseball? Dan ever cover baseball games?
Well, not really recently.
No, well, not
in
recently.
The past, you tweet.
We look forward.
I live in the
now.
I live in the
now. Dan and I look about what's happening now and forward. I believe.
Fishing openers and forward?
I believe you're at Southview Golf Course right now. About to play your second round of the day. You were either at Hazeltine or Hazel Dunn. I mean, there's a lot of debate going on which Hazel you were at.
I know which one would give me more. Which one is more sobering for me, do you think? Hazelden or Hazeltine? Hazeltine. Not close.
And you have dubbed in these photos. You have used sound bites from other individuals to acquire sound from Tim Walz and Kurt Dowd. You've got these phony pictures. Just admit it. You're nowhere near beautiful Cass Lake.
How about a little audio evidence? Can I convince you with some audio evidence that I'm actually fishing?
Dan,
opener?
I'm open-minded. Dan, are you open-minded?
I'm completely open-minded. This show is known for its open-mindedness. So,
are you ready? Are you ready for the?
Yeah, let's go.
Audio evidence that I'm at a fishing opener. Here we go.
I'm convinced.
Well,
that was a Coke.
If
by
it
the
was
way.
A
it's
normal.
Coca-Cola.
If it was a normal Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if that was the bottle opening, if that was the bottle, the Camus opening, then I'd say, what's different?
I am here in beautiful Cass Lake, Minnesota, Chad. You can't hold me down. No. You can't hold me back from the fishing opener. You call
I
it a
scam.
Can't
hold you down? What are we talking about here now?
You call it a
Wait
scam.
Wait a second.
I call it representing the people of Minnesota, representing the great.
Okay.
What is the great Minnesota pastime? Fishing.
Oh, man. Close circuit to Gons and Brad Lane every Friday this summer. I would like to cover the great game of golf. In fact, there's a group of people that play in Independence, Minnesota, every Friday about 1 o'clock. I'd like to join them every Friday. I'll call in occasionally. I'll call in. I'll tell you who's in the group, who's playing, how I'm doing. Dan, does that seem fair to you?
Seems entirely fair.
Yes, yes.
Did you hear the news, Cat? Let me finish, please.
Yes, sir.
Let me finish.
Your witness, go ahead.
Did you hear the newscast right at the end? They played a soundbite from me talking about fishing and how the water temperature probably not going to be ideal for fishing, but with my expert analysis, I said, quote, you never know.
I literally jotted it down. This show's how good friends we are. I go, thanks for the insight, Babe Winkleman. You never know. Yeah, like, I couldn't have said that. I mean, with my success on Minnetonka last year, when it took me 4 times to actually cast properly. And then when I did, I caught, I don't know, a 400-pound sturgeon or something. But Adam gives us, I don't know. You never know. Who am I to say? I think that was a better, who am I to say right there.
Better analysis, that, you never know, or my wild analysis, the Wilder, the better team.
Yes. Yeah. How's that working out? We're going to get to that next time.
Yikes.
Can I just mention how much I love Cass Lake? In all sincerity, 3 of my 4 boys have attended Camp Chippewa. Mm-hmm. On Cass Lake, I bet combined years, 15 years maybe. It's an amazing camp, and Cass Lake is such a gorgeous lake. So
beautiful.
I am jealous where you are right now. Would I be fishing? You know, I probably would if I was up there. But I just know what a spectacular piece of property that part of Minnesota is.
Cass Lake is often the one that gets overlooked because it's just west of Winnie, which is a big lake, popular lake, and just northwest of Leech, another big, enormous, popular lake. So Cass probably gets overlooked, but you're right. I've never been on Cass Lake, but it is beautiful. It's not as crowded as some of the lakes further south where all shorelines are covered with cabins. These are a little more desolate. There's still quite a bit of cabins, obviously, but it's a little more northern feel, almost to that Canadian lake kind of feel. And tomorrow, I think the guide that we have, we're going to go on Winnie. I've never been on Winnie, actually, so I'm looking forward to...
Really? Okay.
Yeah, all my years I've never fished Winnie, so I'm looking forward to it.
Who is your guide? Have you met this individual?
Haven't met him personally. I got his number, and I looked him up on Facebook. He looks like he's about 12 years old. But every picture he has on Facebook, he's holding a big fish. So I'm fairly confident in who we have.
Does he know? I mean, if you never know, does he know?
Yeah. What is he going to say?
where are we going to go in the lake? We'll give it a shot. You never know.
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like you're stalking your ex-girlfriend or something. I don't know the name, but I was on Facebook looking her up.
Everybody does that now. If you find out somebody you're going to have to, you know, meet and you do a little research online. That's what Facebook is for.
Where is the best? Is it automatically, if you go to somebody's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, whatever, is it automatically snooping, or are you just... You're just trying to provide some information. Let's answer that question when we come back, and then we'll have Adam explore why the Wild are the better team than the Blues, because what a pathetic second period performance that was. I mean, embarrassing. Worst period of the year. They go out in embarrassing fashion. Adam is at the fishing opener. Excellent guest coming your way. Is it snooping? If you go on Facebook, Twitter, you name it, and you're trying to learn something about somebody, or you're just checking them out, is it automatically snooping, or is it just modern 2022 life? Text away, 651-461-9226. I have asked Dan today, Adam Carter, to provide music tied to fishing. Tied to fishing. Who do we have here, Dan?
This would be something called Maddie and Tay, I think. T-A-E. I don't know.
I just,
when the song's the title is Shut Up and Fish and you're asking for fishing music, it's got to be a part of the mix.
I think it works.
Right? Yeah.
I think it works. Adam, if it's a public account and you're not somehow, I don't know, finding a way to a private account, it's not Snoopy.
No.
You with me?
Not at all. 100%. I mean, if you're going on a blind date or something, you're not going to have the opportunity. You take the opportunity to look at a public website and see what that person looks like. No, that's not Snoopy.
Yeah, exactly. All right, what part of the wild loss, either last night in particular or the series as a whole, bugs you most? Now, I could blame you, by the way, because it's game five. It's 2-2. Saad has just scored late in the second period, and you say, I'm going to bed. From that point on, 8-1 Blues. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, I'll take the hit. What disappoints me most is the absolute lack of participation other than number 97. What happened to everybody else?
Kaprizov had 7 goals. Ek had 3 goals. That's 10 of the 16 goals.
Yeah.
That's for a team. Now, the Blues had 9 guys score 20 more, but the Wild had 6.
Mm-hmm.
And if Boldy plays the entire season, they probably have 7. Okay? Fiala is number 1 on the list for the obvious reasons, because he was about as hot as any player in the game.
Yeah.
Moving into the playoffs. His best game was game 1, and he didn't score. Now, he did have 2 assists in game 5, but it wasn't like he had tons of chances either. Come on. That is a massive, massive disappointment for a guy. And I have said, and put me in the group, like I'm novel concept here. It's a failure on Bill Guerin if you don't find a way to bring him back. And to bring him back with cap changes where they're $14 million below everybody else is going to be hard. So how does Guerin judge Fiala now? Does he judge him on the playoffs or the season?
I think you still have to judge him on the season, but boy, you know, hat tip to you for pointing out at the time when they signed Goligoski and the head scratcher that is, especially after what I think that's, if the lack of offense from everybody else is the top line, the second line to me is just the really meekness of the defensive unit for the Minnesota Wild. That was not a great defensive effort by any stretch of the imagination. And now you look at that defensive core and you're wondering, okay, is it good enough? Okay, good enough to get you to the playoffs, but the playoffs is such a different thing. And your Correct. Defensive makeup has to be so different, I think. It has to be physical, has to play big and heavy. And I just don't see that from that group of defensemen.
You're 100% right. You look at where they were last year, when they picked up Cole in the trade and Soucy, when they were your 5th and 6th defenseman last year, and it really didn't matter if they were on the ice compared to the other players. So let's go through them. Spurgeon and Brodin are still Spurgeon and Brodin. They're very mm-hmm. good players. Middleton was a good pickup, even though he had the baffling play in game 5. Okay. Dumba has to be hurt. He 100% still has to be hurt because he avoided contact just over and over again. And his shot, even though he scored last night, his shot wasn't the same most of the time. But then we get to the guys at the end. Merrill, I mean, I guess if Merrill's your 6th defenseman,
maybe. Fine. Yeah.
Maybe. But Kulikov was the MVP of the game last night. How about he hurts Eriksson-Ek? His decision to give, when they have five wild players surrounding the offensive dynamo known as Nick Leddy, and Kulikov is backing up like Connor McDavid is coming at him. What are you doing? So not only does he backpedal, he shields Talbot. And another terrible play later, Kulikov was awful, and Goligoski, one of us, I got it. You know, and he's had a very solid, not a great career, but a solid career.
Solid career, but he looks old.
What's that?
He looks old. He looks older and slower, and it just, he looked slow this series. It just.
And smaller.
Yeah. I mean, unlike anybody on this show. Nobody on this show looks older and slower at all.
And smaller. Yeah. They signed him when, obviously, Guerin wanted no part of Suter, right? And what was 1 year, $5 million. And the belief was, you know, Russo is plugged in this team as, I don't know, anybody on the planet with their team. You know, okay, then they'll sign him afterwards. Well, his play dropped off throughout the year. And as it's dropping off late March, when he's not even playing, they signed him to a two-year, $2 million extension. And I asked Guerin about it, and that was one of them where he kind of ducked a little bit. That, to me, it looks like a minor-level Joe Smith Inc. deal, where I'm not saying they sign anything, but they just told him, sign here, and we'll sign you again. Because why are you, when you're desperate for cash, why are you signing a guy who wasn't playing most of the, fourth of the season? And then was in and out of the lineup, and as you said, looked old. And you're desperate for money, and you're giving him another $2 million per year? Makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. And I don't know if you're shoring up knowing that maybe you're not going to be able to keep Matt Dumba if you sign Fiala. I don't know. But, no, that doesn't make a lot of sense, certainly in hindsight.
Where's Kalen Addison? I like him. Whenever he comes up, I think Addison plays – well, and then before you go, because we've got to go here to get a major, Talbot's wife has lit the fuse.
Yep.
Right? When she's questioning when Dean said easy decision, and Dean blew it. Mm-hmm. I'd say an easy decision about going with Fleury, should have picked his words better. And he kept saying it over and over again. And then she's posting the picture wherever our next adventure takes us.
Yeah.
Is it possible they don't have either goaltender next year? Fleury's a free agent and Talbot's ticked off.
And, I mean, at this point, do you want Talbot before you want, I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury? Who knows what you're going to get out of him next year? I
would prefer Talbot.
Yeah,
but
I do too.
I'm also aware that there was a long stretch this year where Talbot didn't look very good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you got Fleury, you know, so... I'll give you another one, then we got to fly. I don't think Evason made enough changes. You know?
No.
That Berube is out there with, at times, three of his defensemen out, changing great lines. And Dean was, come on, changing your fourth line and changing your third-level defensive pairings, that's nothing. Come on. I thought Berube was the better coach. All right, man. Have fun. We'll stay in touch. And if you have any breaking news, you know what? Can you come back later? Because I want to talk about the award, the station. Where you got
sure.
At 2:30.
What? 2:30?
Okay. Oh, geez. Yeah, come 2:30. Back at 2:30.
I was going to head to the bar. I got to stay sober for two more hours.
What else is new? You head to the bar? If you're at the station, no big deal. All right, we got to go. Carter's back at 2:30. Major Garrett, the fabulous Major, is with us in moments.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Major is with us. Excuse me. He's with us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. We love our conversations with Major. Check out The Takeout. You can get The Takeout right now wherever podcasts are available. This week, a very important interview with the parents of journalist Austin Tice, who went missing in Syria in 2012. You can listen to that podcast anytime you'd like. And also hear it on WCCO Sunday at 5 o'clock. Major, it is the Minnesota Fishing Opener weekend. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands go to various lakes. We've got a couple here in the state of Minnesota. And go fishing. Okay? Work that in case you needed to know that. We have at least seven or more lakes in Minnesota. Major Garrett, as a fisherman, tell me about Major and fishing.
Okay. It's a tale of woe, Chad. That's all I can tell you. Okay. It's a long, uninterrupted tale of woe. So when I was a very small child, my father would take my older brother and I fishing to Lake Miramar in San Diego, and they would catch fish, and I would cry. That's basically how it went, because I would cast and cast and cast and nothing would happen. And I would get horribly bored and nothing. Literally, we would go on for hours on end and nothing would happen. And they were pulling trout out of the lake all the time and I got nothing. And then when we go up to the Pacific Northwest and we'd go to streams and we would fish in the streams, they would catch fish. I would catch tree limbs. Again, let me repeat. They would catch fish. I would catch tree limbs. And that was basically my entire experience fishing. Then I go to college at the University of Missouri, and a dear friend of mine takes me fishing in northwest Missouri. And I'm so pathetic. I'm so terrible at casting and catching. He completely gives up on me and says, the only thing you can functionally fish with is a cane pole, which is essentially a pole with a string tied on the end of it and a bobber, and that's it. And he said, when that bobber goes under the water, just lift the pole, you dummy, and you might catch something, which, in fact, I did. That's the only way I've ever been able to catch fish in my life, with a pole that has no reel or rod, nothing that you can catch in a tree, nothing you can gum up in your hands, nothing that you can be foul. That's how I was able to catch my one and only set of fish. And that's basically the entire woeful, pitiful, miserable story of me as a fisherman.
Well, some might say you're old school, that a lot of people are out there with all the modern technology. I mean, you're out there, I don't know, Daniel Boone or something, and you just got a tree limb and you're getting it done. You know, I mean, you're just kind of like a Luddite. I mean, I don't believe in technology.
That's a charitable way of looking at it, Chad. Yeah, that is your generosity of spirit pouring through the microphone.
I'm trying to be kind right here. I'm trying to be. All right, where do I start here? Let's start with the former president.
By the way, let me tell you where I'm at. Let me tell you where I'm talking
to you
from.
Let's go.
Some passing vehicles. I'm in downtown Richmond, Virginia. I'm here because my youngest child is graduating from Virginia Commonwealth University this weekend, and we're out and about, and I'm pausing to check in with the Chad Hartman Show. So if you hear cars going by here, it's just downtown Richmond. That's all.
Well, okay, where do we start? First of all, thanks for doing the show with this momentous event. Tell me what this means for you. It's got to be a little bit emotional, right?
Sure. Yeah. As my ex-wife has said, and as to the audience, doesn't panic. We're dear friends. We're just not married anymore. It can happen. Trust me. I'm living proof.
Yep. Two of us.
It's an end of an era. We did it. We did it well. We did the whole 529 thing. So all three children have graduated with zero collegiate debt, and that was my promise to them. And that's a great thing, a great accomplishment. I'm lucky enough to be able to do that and provide that for my kids, a bachelor's education without any debt. And that's the way we've been able to do it. And I'm deeply grateful for the opportunity and the ability to do that. And my other two children have launched themselves onto really great careers, and I expect my third will do exactly the same thing. So it's a wonderful, wonderful weekend. All the kids will be down for it, and it's going to be a nice celebration.
Well, that's awesome. That is awesome. I mean, it's possible it's not the end of an era. I mean, individuals have kids later in life, Major. I'm just saying. Right?
Let me repeat. Let me repeat, Chad. End of an era.
Okay. Let's get to Donald Trump quickly, and then more time on Joe Biden after the break. So,
okay.
Here we go again. We've got another investigation on the former president on the boxes Mar-a-Lago. We've got the January 6th investigation. We've got the New York Attorney General investigation. It's hard to keep track of all of them. There are a number of folks I know who, to be blunt, are not fans of the former president, but are kind of tired of the TikTok, tired of hearing there is another investigation. And their point is, get back to me when we actually have an indictment or charges. There's a lot out there. But what is your sense on whether the former president, he's obviously facing a voluminous amount of investigations, but will he ever face any charges at all?
That's a difficult question to answer. And people have to remind themselves that one of the things that Donald Trump has done throughout his life in business and now in a post-presidency is he always tries, legally speaking, to run out the clock. And the reason he was held, for example, by the New York State Supreme Court Justice in the Manhattan District in civil contempt is because he wouldn't comply with what the court ruled was a legitimate subpoena. Because the former president kept saying, I've given you everything. There's nothing more to give. And they're like, no, you really haven't demonstrated that you actually looked for anything. And until you demonstrate that you've looked for things and proven that you've looked for things and established how you look for things, we're going to hold you in civil contempt. Well, that's the former president saying, I'm not going to comply until the very end. Until I absolutely positively have to. I've exhausted all of my legal remedies. And then I'll comply or cut a deal. One thing he cut a deal on very recently, I don't know if you saw the headlines about this, he agreed to pay the District of Columbia Attorney General $750,000out of an investigation of improperly using money donated to his inaugural committee. Former president spread that one out through his entire presidency. Had no other recourse.
Long time.
Could not delay that any longer. And then basically, by giving the District of Columbia $750,000, admitted to intentionally misusing money donated to his inauguration. Okay? Now, that's just not a huge headline-grabbing thing, but that's indicative of how this works. You run out the clock, and then you confess at the last minute, and you cut some kind of deal that is less than it could have been, but it's more than you wanted to in the first place. So, for those who get back to me when, one of the reasons we can't get back to you, and I will say this because this has been his legal strategy throughout, and he would admit this and probably has referred to it in his own books. He's shameless about this. He does things his way.
Yeah.
And if he gets a foul of the law, he makes the law go through every single hurdle imaginable to prove its case. And then he tries to cut a deal. And he finds there's some kind of lockbox of brilliance in there that he finds useful. And it's proven more useful than not throughout his long business and political career. But that's why we are where we are.
It's pretty simple. Major Garrett is the best in the business. We're so lucky to have him on. We're going to make this a short break. Come back with Major here on WCCO. Since it's the fishing opener weekend, we're playing fishing-themed bumper music. Major Garrett continues with us from CBS News, as he does every Friday at this time. Major, you nationally, myself locally, and many people held Donald Trump's feet to the fire about a pattern of lies. It continued and continued and continued. I'm going to read part of a tweet from the White House, which came out yesterday afternoon. When President Biden took office, millions were unemployed, and there was no vaccine available. I repeat from the tweet, there was no vaccine available. That's a flat-out lie. Dennis Dale, who does an excellent job on fact-checking, points out more than 3 million Americans were already fully vaccinated. More than 18 million had one dose by the time of the president's inauguration. Certainly, more availability was created later. But, Major, this is a 100% lie from the White House.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they have to own it and apologize for it.
Yep.
And recognize that one of the reasons that we this week memorialized 1 million American dead from this pandemic was because there was hesitancy about vaccines. And one of the reasons, not the only reason, and I don't know the percentage of which this is responsible under that umbrella of reasons, but it's in there at some insignificant, not insignificant number, is that President Biden didn't say, I want to credit my predecessor for Operation Warp Speed.
Exactly.
Because if he had done that, he would at least have recognized something that he was given and that was available, and then he was going to then mobilize the country for to increase the distribution thereof. But he would have said, look, I wouldn't be in the position to distribute if I didn't have. And the reason I have is because of a great scientific community, a tremendous effort with the federal government and all the relevant private sector companies working arm in arm, a classic example of American ingenuity, meeting a need and meeting a need under pressure and stress. And I want to credit my predecessor, say his name, Donald Trump, for doing that. Now, would those in the vaccine hesitancy community have all rushed to get their vaccine? No. But would it have helped at the margins? Absolutely.
For sure.
I believe absolutely. And I believe it's one of the unforced errors of this administration. Now, look, I get that he took the presidency in the aftermath of the most toxic domestic act of violence against the peaceful transfer of power in our country's history. I get that. And you don't want to ignore that. But you can separate one from the other. And in times of governing, especially at a stressful time like a pandemic, I believe it's incumbent upon a president, especially one whose inaugural address is all about unification, to do precisely that. And then not lie about it nearly 2 years later.
That's 100% it. When you're saying, look at who I've worked with over 30 years, and I'm not the far left, I'm not defund the police, I can get things done. You can absolutely positively declare that January 6th was an attack on our democracy and it never should be repeated again. But you also are facing a pandemic that's killing thousands of people by the day at that time. Eventually, we're now at a million, and he wouldn't even acknowledge that warp speed happened. I'm not saying because of Donald Trump, but it happened under his watch. And I think that was a massive mistake. And this tweet absolutely should be called out because it's a lie. Now, let's stay with the president this week because he's on the road, and now he's using MAGA on a regular basis and saying they're extremists. This is out as outlandish as any party as we've ever seen, calling the former president what the ultra MAGA king. What's your theory on this decision? Sounds like by the president himself, according to what Jen Psaki and others are saying.
Well, it's clearly poll tested. They've surveyed this. They know that they need to do something to shake up the currently negative impression that independent voters have of the president. And one of the ways to do that is to say, all right, you're unhappy with me, but what about the alternatives? And that's what every election, it's harder to do in a midterm environment because it's not the two principal protagonists in American politics the last 2 or 3 years, former President Trump and President Biden. It's lots of other candidates down ballot, but still, you're trying to shake up independents and say, look, I know you're unhappy with me. I botched Afghanistan. I won't say it, but you do, and you believe it, and you're the ones who got the vote, so that's what matters. You're infuriated with me about inflation because I told you a year ago it was transient, proved out it was not permanent, but much more durable than transient. You're upset with me about that. You've long been upset with me about immigration. And you don't really like the way most Democratic governors and mayors run big cities in their orientation to crime. I get all that. Big breath. But what's the alternative? Anti-democratic, anti-women's rights, anti-privacy rights,
yep.
and extremism. And so it's a shift of the subject narrative, if you can. The one thing that I would remind the president is if you take a base of a party that's already mobilized and looks primed to regain control of power and tell them that they're extremists, they're going to make sure that they answer back and show up at the polls. So it's a risky strategy, much riskier than arguing your way out of what people are unhappy about what you've done. It's trying to shift blame to your opponents and say, look at them. And some independents may say, yeah, you know, you're right. I'm not comfortable with that. But those who you're pointing at will say, yes, we're right here. We know why we're here, and we're going to show up.
Enjoy tonight. Have a fabulous weekend. Congrats to your family, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks so much, Chad.
He's fabulous. Major Garrett, check out the Takeout podcast available right now and listen to it Sunday at 5 o'clock. Okay, I want you to find a seatbelt. I want you to buckle in tight because guess who's coming? Shaletta, Feisty Friday after weather, traffic, and news here on Shaletta Station, CCO.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.